Alhamdulillah hamdan muafiyan li ni'ami mukafiyan li mazidi was salatu was salamu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa junudi amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rrajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim walladhina istajabu li rabbihim wa aqamus salah wa amruhum shura bainahum wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun wa qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ما خاب من استخار ولا ندم من استشار أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. In life, every now and again, we need to make important decisions. As young children, the decisions were small, the impact wasn't lasting. Perhaps it was the choice between one chocolate and another, between one sweet and another. As we grow up, the decisions become more important, and the effects are more lasting, and many a times not only confined to ourselves, but it affects others as well. As we grow up, we need to choose a career, then we need to choose a life partner, and similarly, every now and again we have important decisions to make. Many a times we are in a quandary, we aren't sure what we should be doing. Islam, being the perfect religion, has explained to us a procedure so that we make the correct choices and we make the correct decisions. In the hadith that I mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains two procedures that we should be adopting in order to make the right decision. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ma khaba man istakhar." That person who makes istikhara, he will never be at a loss. Istikhara is a topic on its own, but the gist of istikhara is talabul khair, to ask Allah to place goodness in the decision that we are going to be making. So we make all the necessary inquiries and we ask Allah to place goodness in the decision that we are making. And the second part of the hadith is the part that I wish to highlight today and expound. And that is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Wala nadima man istashar." That person who consults, that person who makes maswara, he will not regret the decision that he makes. Now this is a simple procedure. And many a times we do adopt this procedure in certain aspects, but we don't adopt it all the time or in many other aspects that we are supposed to be adopting this procedure. So for example, we are not too sure about some health condition of ours, then we will consult. We will go to a doctor. First we'll go to a GP. We're not satisfied, we'll go to a physician. We'll go to a specialist. And we'll pay a nice amount, a good sum also for that consult. Nothing else, just for the consult. We will pay him. And if we're still not too happy, we'll go for a second opinion. And if we're not too happy, we might fly over to Cape Town for a third opinion. And if we're not too happy, we may go to India also for another opinion or some other part of the world. So we do consult, but in certain respects. And there are many other things that we are supposed to be consulting in, but we lack in consulting. Now this is a very important principle, a very important procedure that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained to us. And there's great importance that has been placed on this in deen. There's an entire surah in the Quran Majeed that has been titled, that has been named Surah Tushura, the surah of consultation. And in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one place explains certain qualities of the believer. وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And one of the qualities that Allah explains, that are the qualities of a believer, is that these people, the believers, they come to an agreement or they decide through mutual consultation. Let alone everyone else. the paragon of Allah's creation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can't fathom, we can't think of someone more knowledgeable than him, someone more experienced than him, receiving direct revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite all these accolades, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs this Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. That you also must consult. Consult with who? Consult with your juniors, consult with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Sometimes a person feels, I don't need to consult because I am too experienced or I am too senior. Who must I consult? Ask a small boy, ask a youngster. Despite all his greatness, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to consult with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who were his juniors. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consulted so much with Sahaba radiallahu anhum that in a narration of Sunan Tirmidhi, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا أَكْثَرَ مَشُورَةً لِأَصْحَابِهِ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He says, I did not see anyone consult his companions as much as I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consulting his companions. So not only was this the command of Allah, but then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practically demonstrated it. And he made the most amount of mashura, the most amount of consultation Rasulullah SAW had made with his Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And on many occasions, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam practiced on the suggestion, or he implemented the suggestion that was given to him by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. In the famous three battles of Islam, Battle of Badr, before the Battle of Badr, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam consulted with Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Lengthy narration appears in Sahih Bukhari, how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam consulted with Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Before the Battle of Uhud, again Rasulullah SAW consults with Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And then the Battle of Khandaq, the Battle of the Trench. The mere name of this battle has been given because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam accepted the suggestion of a Persian Sahabi, a non-Arab Sahabi. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu gave the suggestion that in Persia, when we face an onslaught of an enemy that we can't handle, we can't manage, we dig a huge trench around the city and we fortify ourselves. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum put themselves through so much of difficulty in order to practice on the suggestion of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, that we have heard the incidents many a times. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum had stones tied to their bellies out of starvation and out of difficulty that they were enduring because of digging the trench around Madinah Munawwara. So this was the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practiced on the suggestions of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, explaining to us, practically demonstrating to us the importance of consulting. And there's no such thing like anyone is too big or too great to consult. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prophesied, before Qiyamah, a time will come when i'jabu kulli dhi ra'yin bi ra'yi. Every person will be self-opinionated. Every person will feel, I know it all. I don't need to consult. Whether it be in dunya, whether it be in deen. How often it happens, a person says, well, that mufti said that, or that alim said that, but this is what I feel. Now, it's logic, it's common sense. You only can have an opinion if you're an expert in that field. For example, a lay person can't say that this is what this doctor says, but I have a different view. You only have the right to have a different view when you are an expert in that field. If you don't know the ABCs of that field, how can you have your own view? No problem. If you are following another expert who has another view, provided he is qualified, you are entitled to follow someone else. But you can't have your own view when it is something which you don't have expertise in, something which is not your field, not your forte. How can we have our own views, our own opinions in this regard? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had foretold, he had warned, prior to Qiyamah, إِعْجَابُ كُلِّ ذِي رَأْيٍ بِرَأْيِ. People will become self-opinionated. However, this concept of mashura, this concept of consulting, is such a unique concept. It's so nice. It brings so much of comfort. In Arabic they say, الْمُشَاوَرَةُ رَاحَةٌ لَكْ وَتَعَبٌ عَلَىٰ غَيْرِكَ. When you consult, then you are putting yourself at ease. It is a means of comfort for you. Because you're not taking the entire burden and the entire responsibility on your own shoulders, on your own head. Rather, you're consulting someone else who is an expert. And that person knows the ins and outs of it. That person will tell you, see, I tried this whole thing. I went through the whole cycle that you went through. I tried this, it didn't work. I tried this, it didn't work. And I tried this, it works. So, you are saving yourself the difficulty of going through the entire cycle, burning your fingers and going through difficulty. You rather just consult with someone who is experienced in the field, and the person will show you in simple terms, very easily, the person will show you what you should be doing. So this is the beauty of this aspect of, or this concept of mashura. And as we explained, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practiced on it. We look at Umar radiallahu an, the second greatest person to walk the surface of this earth after the Anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says regarding him, لو كان نبي بعدي لكان عمر بن الخطاب. If there to be a Nabi after me, it would have been him. Can we understand what a great accolade, what a great virtue, what a great testimony that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, if there had to be a Nabi after me. Obviously the doors of Nubuwwat is closed. So there can't be a Nabi. But if there had to be a Nabi after me, it would have been him. As if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, this man qualifies to being a Nabi, but the doors of Nubuwwat are closed, therefore he can't be a Nabi. Can you understand what a great testimony? Yet people have the audacity of speaking against such a great person, such a great personality. Nevertheless, Umar radiallahu anhu, such a great person, but he had, according to the narration of Sahih Bukhari, he had a council, he had an assembly, he had a set group of people with whom he used to be consulting regularly. كَانَ الْقُرَّىٰ أَصْحَابَ مَجْلِسِ عُمَرُ وَمُشَاوَرَتِهِ. He had an assembly, he had a council. And this council, who qualified to be part of this? الْقُرَّىٰ. Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimullah explains, الْعُلَمَاءُ الْعُبَّادِ. The person needed two qualities. He needed ilm, knowledge of deen, understanding of deen, and he needed piety for him to qualify to be part of the council of Umar radiallahu anh, no matter what his age may be. Therefore, a young sahabi, a teenager, like Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, was part of this council of Umar radiallahu anh, despite his young age, because of his piety and his learning and his understanding in deen. So Umar radiallahu anhu also consulted. There are many examples in his life where Umar radiallahu anhu used to consult with sahaba radiallahu anhum. All of this is explaining to us the importance of this. Now, the question will come that who do we consult with? Very clearly, it has been explained who Umar radiallahu anhu consulted with. He consulted with people who had two qualities. People who had knowledge, understanding, and people who are pious. Obviously, when you're asking something in deen, then the person needs to have these two qualities. The person needs to have the knowledge of deen. And then not only the knowledge of deen, he must have the practical dimension in his life. So if the person is speaking about sunnah, but he doesn't have sunnah in his life, how can we consult with such a person? How can we take deen from such a person? He needs to have it in theory and in practice. Then we take deen from such a person, and this has been explained to us by Umar radiallahu anh, that we consult with such people. Then what issues do we consult regarding? What must we consult? Some person will feel, I must consult regarding everything. So people make a joke out of it also, they say, I want to go to the toilet, I must consult. Obviously we need to be realistic. Certain things you don't need to consult. But a few examples from the lives of sahaba radiallahu anhum, through which we will understand what we consult regarding. What sahaba radiallahu anhum consulted with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding. So the first thing, or one of the things that sahaba radiallahu anhum consulted regarding which we will find many examples in the Quran and Hadith, they consulted regarding the masail of deen. Regarding the rulings of Sharia. Yastaftunak, yas'alunak. Questions sahaba radiallahu anhu posed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that are contained in the Quran and Majid. In the Ahadith, there are many examples of this nature where sahaba radiallahu anhu consulted with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding various rulings of Sharia, regarding various masail of deen. So for example, we are not sure about the salah. Is my salah valid? I made a certain mistake. Is my salah valid or not? Then we consult with an alim. Or for example, I'm calculating my zakah in a certain way. I'm not sure whether my zakah calculation is correct or not. Or for example, I'm in charge of an estate. And this is how I'm distributing the estate. Consult with someone. Consult with someone who's experienced. Someone who is learned. So that we don't get ourselves in problems. In dunya, if we make a mistake in something regarding a dunyawi thing, something regarding our worldly life, then if we make a mistake, the effects of it will last till the day our eyes close. That's the end of it. That's the end of the mistake. No matter how serious the mistake may be, till the day our eyes close, that's the end of the mistake. But when we make a mistake in deen, then the effects continue in akhirat also. And Allah forbid, sometimes it can jeopardize our jannah. It can affect our entire akhirat because of a mistake or a blunder that we may make in deen. Therefore, the importance of asking. There's a famous example mentioned regarding one senior alim. Once he was explaining some masla that if you give your wife talaq, if you divorce your wife in jest, jokingly, or just to threaten your wife, you divorce her, the divorce goes through, provided that you divorce her, but just to threaten her. So, the one person is sitting there saying, Mauna, but I did this about 1,000 times. About 1,000 times I did it. Now imagine after the first 3, his wife is out of his nikah. He's living in zina. Living in zina, the children that were born were illegitimate. But where the problem came about? When he didn't consult. He felt it's a small thing. Sometimes we feel it's a small thing. Therefore, the importance of consulting. And we can avoid major problems in our lives by consulting. So first thing that Sahaba radiallahu anhu consulted regarding was the masail of deen, the laws of sharia. Then they consulted regarding their personal issues. Issue regarding marriage, regarding divorce. Sahaba radiallahu anhu came and consulted Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a marriage proposal. Is this the ideal proposal or not? Should we accept this proposal or not? Sahaba radiallahu anhu consulted Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person is going through a rough patch in his marriage. He feels that I can't sort this issue out. We just can't come to terms. It's the end. We rather call it off. How many times it happened? A person felt like that. And he goes to someone who's experienced. Someone either who has age, who has experience, or he goes to an alim. The person tells him, just make these small adjustments. Sometimes it's a minor adjustment that he needs to make in his life, and she needs to make in her life perhaps. And because of that, now once again, the marriage is going so well, and he thinks to himself, that did we ever have any problems in this marriage? But what was it? He just went for a consult. And many a times it is for free. Dini consultation, inshallah, most of the time is for free. But we're not prepared to access it. We're not prepared to go for it. And together with the free consult, we'll get du'as also. We'll get du'as. The person will make du'a for us. So this will also benefit us. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum consulted regarding laws of Shariat. They consulted regarding their personal issues. Then they consulted regarding their spiritual condition. There are many examples of this nature, where Sahaba radiallahu anhum came to discuss the spiritual condition with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At times we are experiencing some problem, we can't give up some sin. For example, we can't control our gaze. We are casting lustful gazes. Or we can't control our anger. We have any anger management problems. We can't control our ego. We are jealous of someone. Or whatever else it may be. Spiritual conditions and spiritual ailments that we have. Just as we consult with regards to our physical ailments, we will consult regarding our spiritual ailments. A sahabi, a young sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A very amazing incident. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, "Idhan li fi zina." O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, grant me permission to commit zina. Now, can we understand? If your son comes to you and says, "Daddy, I want to make zina," what will we do? We'll give him a few claps. That may be the lightest. But unfortunately, sometimes parents don't even feel anything about these things nowadays. But nevertheless, the sahabi comes and he says, the youngster, he has these feelings, it's natural. But what he does, he doesn't just take it in his own hands. He doesn't do what he wants to do. He comes and he consults with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'll say, it's so embarrassing. How can I go speak about this? He doesn't worry about that. He comes and he says, "Idhan li fi zina." O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, grant me permission to commit zina. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains to this youngster. He explains to him, he reasons with him. Explaining to him the harms of zina. Awa tuhibbuhu li ummik. O youngster, understand if you're going to make zina with someone, then it's the reverse also will happen. It's possible that someone will want to make zina also with some relative of yours. So do you love someone? Do you like someone making zina with your mother? La wallah ya Rasulullah. Never. How can someone commit zina with my mother? The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, "Walan nasu yuhibbunahu li ummahatihim." Others don't like that for their mothers. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on, "Awa tuhibbuhu li ibnatik." Do you like someone to commit zina with your daughter? Never, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then people don't like it for their daughters. Do you like it for your sister? The same, Nabi sallallahu alaihi reasons with him in this way. Your sister, your paternal aunt, your maternal aunt. And in this way, Nabi sallallahu alaihi reasons with this youngster. But this was the benefit of him coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and discussing his personal issue, discussing his spiritual condition. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes dua for him. As we explained earlier, we'll get duas also. Nabi sallallahu alaihi makes dua for him. Allahumma ghfir dhanbahu wa tahhir qalbahu wa hassin farjahu. O Allah, forgive his sins. O Allah, purify his heart. And O Allah, keep him chaste. Sahaba radiallahu anhum say that through the barakat of this sahabi, this youngster coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Nabi sallallahu alaihi dua, this youngster was the furthest away from zina. He won't come close to zina. Now what was it? He came and he consulted. He discussed his spiritual condition to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are other examples of this nature. The famous incident of Hanzala radiallahu anhu, who feared nifaq and feared hypocrisy that comes in Fazail Amal. So this is another example. Then we find Sahaba radiallahu anhum came and discussed issues relating to their iman. Sometimes a person has some doubt regarding his faith, regarding his iman. He has some serious doubt regarding deen, regarding some fundamental of deen, he has a doubt. Sahaba radiallahu anhum came and discussed. Although the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, these were mere whispers of shaitan. There's an incident mentioned in the books of hadith. Sahaba come to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, "Inna najidu fi anfusina ma yata'adhamu ahaduna ay yatakallama bihi." We are finding such doubts that we are even frightened, we're feeling difficult to even verbalize it and articulate it. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them, what was it? And when they explained, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't worry, you don't need to worry about it. This is just the whispers of shaitan. But that was whispers of shaitan when it came to Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Sometimes we may also have the same whispers of shaitan. But at times we have genuine doubts. We have serious doubts. Sometimes it may happen we went through a certain education system. And because of that we have certain doubts regarding Daoism, regarding evolution. What's my ancestors? Did I evolve from a monkey? Or is my ancestors Adam alayhi salatu wasalam? These are things that are common, unfortunately. Although sometimes we feel that this is something ridiculous. What are you speaking about? Many a times when we engage with our children, when we speak with our children, Allah forbid, we will find that they have the same doubts. Or sometimes we're sitting with the doubt and we are feeling too afraid to speak about it. It should not happen that we leave this world with these doubts and it affects our iman. And as we explain, it jeopardizes our place in akhirat. It jeopardizes our jannat because of us sitting with these doubts. So if we have the problem, there are solutions. There are people who can handle these issues. There are people that can help us. We go to them and we find out from them, inshallah, these doubts will be solved. And lastly, time has run out. Lastly, another aspect that we find that we need to be consulting regarding something which is extremely important in today's time especially. And that is new ideologies, new isms, new views. Every now and again there's a new view that is being promoted. There's some clip that's coming around, there's some video clip or there's some article that's moving around. And because of that we're reading this, something we never never heard of before, something we never knew before. Someone speaking against some Sahabi, speaking against some great luminary of Islam, against one of the four Imams, or whatever it may be. Some new ideology, some new ism that is being promoted. Now what we do? We don't take it in our own hands. We go and consult. There's a famous incident, the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. In the introduction of this hadith that appears in Sahih Muslim, there's an incident mentioned of two tabi'een, two people who saw Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They were living in Basra in Iraq. And there was a new view that was being promoted. There was a new ism, a new group that had started. These two tabi'een traveled all the way from Basra in Iraq to Makkah Mukarramah just to find out from Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, the sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how should we be dealing with this group? And he says to them that you must stay very, very far away from them. The incident is lengthy, time has run out, but that's the gist of it. That when we have these kind of issues, we're not sure about something, there's something new that is being promoted, we don't take a decision on our own. We refer to experienced, learned people, people who have been guiding us for decades, people who have given us deen, who have given our children deen. We refer to these people, and inshallah, in this way, we will be able to navigate ourselves very, very safely to akhirat. Just to summarize what we had explained, the importance of consulting. When we have to make a decision, whether it be in dunya, we will consult. Health issues and other issues, financial issues, or whatever it may be, we will consult. And similarly, when it comes to deen, we are given examples from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the life of Umar radiallahu anhu, and how they had consulted. There are many other examples as well. How they had consulted, the importance they laid on this aspect of consultation. And then a few examples from the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. In what issues do we consult regarding the laws of Shariat, the masail of deen? Then we consult regarding our personal issues. Then we consult regarding our spiritual issues, spiritual conditions that we are experiencing. Then we consult regarding aspects, doubts regarding our iman, doubts regarding deen. And then finally, new ideologies or new isms that are being promoted. We consult regarding these things. Inshallah, if we make amal on this, then life will become very easy. We complain nowadays, things are very complicated. There's so much of difference of opinion. Things are so complicated. The complication is many a times because of us. Why? We are trying to fit the pieces of the puzzle on our own. Not realizing that we don't understand that these pieces belong to different puzzles. You can only fit the puzzles of one puzzle, the pieces of one puzzle together. If there are pieces of different puzzles together, then someone will need to sift out the pieces. So you'll need someone who is experienced to tell you, see, these pieces belong to this puzzle, these pieces belong to this puzzle, and these pieces belong to this puzzle. And then you can put the pieces together. Otherwise what will happen, you will get puzzled. You'll get puzzled in a rush. In trying to put the pieces on your own, without the direction of someone who's experienced, you'll get puzzled. So the simple way, simple procedure, we refer to people of experience. Inshallah, life will become so easy, so manageable. Deen is easy. Whether we're living in the 21st century or whatever it may be, deen is easy. It's the same easy deen. But many a times we make it complicated. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and understanding. As we all know, the Ijtima is taking place tomorrow, commencing from tomorrow in Pietermaritzburg, and it will terminate on Monday. Let us try and avail ourselves, go to these places of this good environment. Inshallah, this will motivate us towards good. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.